If you would, and you want to follow along, please turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Well, since we're by myself today, let's go ahead and just read the whole thing from verse 19 on. Now, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking himself. And Luke wrote it down. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And you know what that is, right? That's the God honest truth.
Yes, amen.
I like that statement because it was spoken by God, Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing I want to say about this is this, and Earl made this very clear years ago, and I still got it in my head. This is not a parable.
That's right.
People talk about it like it's a parable. Preachers talk about it like it's a parable. It's not a parable. Check every other parable where the Lord Jesus Christ would say, hear now the parable of the sower. You know, hear this parable. Or John or one of the others will say, Jesus spoke unto them this parable. You don't see that here. And the other thing you do see here that you do not ever see in a parable is this. There was a certain rich man. But even more certain is this. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Check every other parable in the Bible. You will never find a name used in a parable. Ever. There's parables about princes and kings and mustard seeds and all this. There, you'll never find a parable with a person's name in it. This is a real account of something that happened, and it was related to these people that day by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I looked on the concordance, the Strong's, to see what You know, you look for the meaning of names. And I like this one. Lazarus means whom God helps. I like that. I do. Because here it is. Guess what? There was a certain rich man. You never get his name. Why? Because he doesn't matter. I hate to put it that way, but he doesn't matter. Just as you look in Genesis, when you see those things about this one lived and this one died and this one lived and this one died, you look at the descendants of Cain and it says, and they died. So-and-so had a son and they died. Never said they lived. Well, they lived, but it wasn't recognized. And that's what this is. This rich man lived, but it wasn't recognized. But he gives us the name Lazarus. There's a certain beggar named whom God helps. I like that. I do. But I will tell you this. Strong's Concordance also says this. It is the name. It's probably from the Hebrew, Eleazar. But on that, right after that, it says this. It says the name of two Jews in the Bible. One real and one imaginary. I don't believe that. This is a certain man named Lazarus. This is not an imaginary story. It's not a parable. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's the word of God from the lips of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it is incredibly important that we understand this. Granted, it would make a wonderful story, but it's not a story. This is an account of what actually happened. Because Jesus Christ himself said, this is certain. A certain rich man and a certain beggar named Lazarus. And I believe him before I believe anybody else.
Right.
So what's it say? Verse 22. That's where I'm going to start. Back up a little bit here and there, but that's okay. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Lazarus, the beggar, died. And the rich man died. The thing I wanted to point out here, just in, before I get to some other things, and I just love this phrase of this verse. And it came to pass the beggar died. But then it says this, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You understand? When Lazarus died, he didn't have to do anything. The angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. You understand what that means? I want to wrap my head around this. You know, Jesus told us that the very hairs on our head are numbered. You know, not a sparrow falls without my Father. It doesn't say without my Father knowing it. That's true. But he says without my Father, nothing dies. No one dies. Oh, what's it say in the Old Testament? Precious in the sight of the Lord is what? The death of his saints. Lazarus died. The angels were waiting. They were there. And they carried him. How am I going to get to heaven? Well, if you're not carried there by angels, you never will. That's the truth of it. You understand? I mean, like I said, this is not something Jesus Christ made up. This is the way things are. And that shows how precious we are in the sight of God. He has angels waiting to carry us home. Now, see, some people might think, oh my, you sound presumptuous. You sound like you're proud of yourself. No, I am not. but I am extremely proud and praise my God as high as I can.
Amen.
He takes care of his own. I've heard the stories, you know. Well, there's a white light and I started to reach for it. No, don't you worry about that. That's hooey. That's hooey. Here's what happens. The angels carried him. And you know why? There was never a doubt as to where Lazarus was going. Is a certain beggar whom God helps. And you know what he does with some certain beggars? He lifts them up and raises them up. Why? Two, for the express purpose of sitting down with princes and kings. And where'd he go? Abraham's bosom. I love that. I do. What does this verse say about the rich man? It says the rich man was buried. That's it. That's it. That's all it says. Oh. I listened to a message by Jack Shanks the other day. And it's about whether or not we should enjoy things in this life. And his answer is yes. And the scripture's answer is yes. Enjoy what God has given you. And you understand, I never thought about this. He related it, and he related it quite well. The reason we have rich people is so that they can give us a way to make a living in this world. And I got to thinking, I was already had this down. And I got thinking about this certain rich man and this certain beggar, Lazarus. And you understand, Lazarus, what? Was laid at his gate. This rich man's gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. You understand, after God took Lazarus, that rich man's purpose was over. Because he took him.
Amen.
You understand, bad people don't die without God either. Knowing about it. See, people don't want to think about this. People don't want to talk about this. I mean, I'm not speculating. This happens way more than the world ever thinks it does. Because the next verse says, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. And I'm not speculating about this. This is the absolute truth. This happens way more times than the world will ever believe. You understand? I remember Earl talking about this, and I've found my experience to be the same. I don't know anyone that's ever had a funeral and went to hell. Because whenever you go to their funeral, they're the most wonderful person you ever saw in your life.
Yeah.
All you're ever going to hear is the good stuff, and most of that's made up.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. That's the way we are. Because people don't want to think about this. There is life after death, but there is two lives after death. One's in torment, and one's being comforted.
Right.
And people don't want to deal with death or the aftermath. But our Lord Jesus Christ did. He told us. That rich man's purpose was over on earth because God killed him. God's purpose was fulfilled. You understand, there are other people who want to say, well, he's outside of the will of God. Not really. Not in some ways, okay? There's no one and nothing outside of the will and the purpose of God.
Right.
Amen. That's right.
That's a fact.
You know, he maketh alive and he kills. He's the potter who can take the same lump. The very same lump of clay, and one make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor.
Amen.
Now, I know some preachers want to say, well, that's honorable and common. No, you look at the word, it says dishonor.
Yeah.
Our Lord is in control. I believe and preach as best I can a completely, totally sovereign God.
Amen.
Who does what he wills, when he wills, where he wills, and with whom he wills.
Exactly right.
And if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with this book. Because he raises them up and he sets them down. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, what? Being in torments. Guess what? Angels didn't carry him. Angels didn't carry him. No one carried him. How do you end up in hell? You die and you wake up there. That's what the scripture says. What's it take to end up in hell? Absolutely nothing. Just don't believe God.
That's right.
Yeah.
And guess what? We're born that way.
That's right.
Yeah. We're born not believing God. We're born in rebellion and we are raised up in iniquity. We drink iniquity like water. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? We like it.
Yeah.
We're thirsty for it. We want it. See, the odd thing is when you don't want iniquity. That's the strange thing. That goes against human nature wanting to be good some days.
That's right.
All we know about this rich man is that he died and he woke up in hell.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen to everyone who does not believe the Christ of God, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said it himself. What? If you believe not that I am he, what's, you will die in your sins.
That's right.
This rich man, this certain rich man, died in his sins. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Like I'm telling you, I believe that happens every day, many, many times a day. But let me point out a couple other things. Because what else do we know from this verse? You can see some things in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth. He sees. Abraham, that's afar off. He sees Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom.
Yeah.
The rich man saw and recognized Abraham and Lazarus. Lazarus laid outside his gate. See, this is the thing. I mean, these are the words of Christ, but he's actually repeating what this man said. I believe that. This man knew Lazarus's name.
Yeah.
And he knew who Abraham was. You understand, you can see something in hell. Now, notice very carefully, you don't see any word here about this man seeing other people with him in torment. Although Abraham later on says, those over there can't come here. In the plural, talking in the plural. But this man didn't see anyone around him as far as we know. Didn't mention anyone around him, anyone nearby him. Being in hell is being alone and in torment. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus, and he knew them both. And you know what he saw? He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
You know what that means? Lazarus got a hug. He was hugged, holding, Abraham was holding him to his bosom. They were hugging. Lazarus was welcomed.
Yeah.
Lazarus, here's the point, Lazarus was not alone.
Right.
You are never alone in Christ Jesus. Not in life, and not in death, and not after death. He was in Abraham's bosom. It says later on, being comforted. Being comforted. But he was being hugged. He was being welcomed to the place by Abraham himself. Isn't that just amazing? See, people have a tendency to focus on this rich man in hell, and I know why. Because they're wanting to scare people. Yeah. And it's the truth. It's a scary thing. But don't forget, Lazarus was there being comforted.
Amen.
You understand, there are two places. One you want to go and one you don't want to go. But let's think about what happened in the one you want to go to. Lazarus, a beggar who'd just been laying, getting his sores licked by a dog outside some rich man's gate, eating off of the crumbs from his table. Lazarus is welcomed by Abraham himself, whom God said is my friend. And I'm going to make of thee a father of many nations. And there's this beggar. Ain't it the truth? The grace of God is glorious. This beggar who died laying there begging. As far as we know, that's all it says he did, was he begged. And he ate crumbs from the rich man's table. That beggar was hugged, welcomed by Abraham, whom this rich man called Father Abraham. I'll make of thee a father of many nations. Thy seed's going to be like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. And yet he's there and he welcomes this beggar who just died outside a rich man's gate. I think that's just glorious. And you know what? That rich man saw it. And of course, the rich man cried out, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Do you believe hell's hot? I don't know. It says there's flames.
Yep.
Usually flames are hot. You don't really believe that, do you? Hmm. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what Jesus Christ said.
Right.
And this is what he said. You know? Here's one thing that happened to that rich man. In hell, you recognize the need for mercy.
Yeah.
There is none, but now you recognize it. You recognize the need. This rich man, Abraham tells him, remember thou in thy lifetime, thou receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now, there are people who want to take that verse and make this a difference between, you know, poor people go to heaven and rich people go to hell. Okay. Now, I believe what other thing Christ said, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven.
Right.
But I also believe what David read this morning.
Yep.
You understand? It says not many mighty, not many noble, not many, you know, didn't say not any. It said, not many.
Yeah, that's right.
God can save anybody he wants.
That's right.
Guess what? That's what he does. He saves anybody and everybody he wants.
What he does.
And if you got a problem with that, it's your problem.
Yeah.
Rich, poor, doesn't matter. But Abraham's just laying out the way this situation was. You were in good shape when you were alive. And Lazarus wasn't. And he did. That's not the point anyway. And besides all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed.
Yeah.
Fixed. And I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't fixed by Father Abraham.
No, it wasn't.
It was fixed by God.
Yes.
Because what is it? He told Moses, to tell Pharaoh, he says, I'm going to put a difference between the people of Israel and the people of Egypt.
Yeah. Yep.
You understand? There's no real difference in the people themselves. But I'm going to put one there. You understand? That's how God works, by grace. And that's how this works right here. He put a difference between a certain rich man and a certain beggar, what? Whom God helps. A certain beggar named Lazarus. God put a difference between them. And then he put a gulf between them. And guess what? That gulf between those two is so fixed, you can't go there and they can't come here. That's grace. That's grace. As they were naturally born, there was no difference between that rich man and Lazarus.
Right.
As they were naturally born. The difference is the grace of God.
Amen.
He chose Lazarus from before the foundation of the world. And he did not choose that rich man, that certain rich man. Therein lies the difference. The difference is always with God. And he has fixed this great gulf. And no man is going to ever overcome his great gulf. Not if it's fixed. And it is. I'm going to do a little summarizing here before I get on to that other thing. What can we learn from the Word of God spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in this account of the rich man and Lazarus? Well, the first thing everybody better glean from this is that everybody dies. Rich doesn't matter. Poor doesn't matter. Old doesn't matter. Young doesn't matter. Until Jesus Christ comes again, everybody's going to die.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mention, both of these examples are male, but females are not exempted. Old, young, rich, poor, male, female, barbarian or Scythian, Jew or Gentile, everyone's going to die. Death comes to us all until Christ comes again. But the second thing to learn here is there is life after bodily death on this planet. Because death, according to Jesus Christ here, death is an ending of life on this world and the beginning of the life in the next. There is a life of torment, and there is a life of comfort.
Amen.
And there is absolutely no contact between the two. Because there's a great gulf, and it's fixed.
That's right.
It's fixed. I'm not going to go into it, but you realize, just realize this for a second. Think about it, because it's just one of them things that you kind of got to get into where I'm at. This happened before Jesus Christ died. This happened before that sacrifice was made. This happened before he was resurrected and went before the Father. And was accepted as the perfect, complete, holy sacrifice for sin. And yet, Lazarus is already comforted.
Amen.
Abraham is already comforted. Mm-hmm. And there's already a great gulf fixed.
Yeah.
There's a life after a bodily death. And here's the third thing. There is memory. There is memory. And you can see Not only that, you can see and you can remember. What did he tell him? Well, verse 25. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime had the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Remember that. But then you read down in verse 27, 28. He says, then I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Talking about Lazarus, asking Abraham again. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also came to this place of torment. Into this place of torment. He remembered his brothers. He remembered his family. He saw and recognized Abraham and Lazarus, but he remembered his family. But Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham. You understand? Hearing the prophets isn't good enough for some people. It didn't do this rich man any good. He knew who Abraham was. That means he knew something about the writings of Moses. I'll lay odds he knew something about the writings of the prophets. But he didn't hear them, and his brothers weren't hearing them, and he knew they weren't hearing him. Guess what? You remember some things in hell. And he said, nay, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That actually brings me to my fourth point. In some ways, death does not make you different. That was the nice politically correct way of saying that. The politically incorrect way of saying that is you can't fix stupid. Because you understand this man's in hell and he still don't understand what's going on. He doesn't understand. First he wants Lazarus to come bring him something. There's a great gulf fixed. There's a separation between the people of God and those who aren't the people of God. They're always has been. And this man didn't get it while he was alive, and this man doesn't get it while he's dead. And then he thinks that if one rose from the dead, they'll repent. Our Lord told them, you asked for a miracle, you asked for a sign, you asked for a wonder. And guess what? Moses, in his day, they saw more signs and wonders in that wilderness and on the way to it and in the land of Egypt than men had ever seen before or ever seen since. Right. Till Jesus Christ came.
Right.
And guess what? They rebelled. Men rebelled. Not only against Moses, they rebelled against God. And he's the one that delivered them out of all that. This man says, oh, if one rose from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham set him straight. He said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. The one rose from the dead. No one has ever been saved by a sign or a miracle performed.
Right.
There has been lives saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead.
Yeah.
There have been eyes opened, ears opened. He did both of those. But you understand, he didn't perform a miracle that way to save anyone. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he ascended. And he gives life by his voice. There's a time coming, and now is, when they that are dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
And he wasn't talking about raising the dead then. He talks about that later when he says they're going to hear the voice of the Father, and they're going to raise up from the grave. He's talking about the dead alien sinner being given life. Because guess what? After you've been given this life, you will hear Moses and the prophets. You'll hear them. You'll hear his gospel preached. And you'll want it. Amen. And you'll love it. And you'll rejoice in it. This rich man, still dead, didn't understand any of that. This rich man was an unbeliever when he died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, still being an unbeliever. He learned he needed mercy. He didn't realize that before, because he fared sumptuously every day. He knew about Moses and the prophets, but here's the thing. He didn't know the message of Moses and the prophets. He didn't know the Christ of God. And now he shows that he's still an unbeliever. And he shows that he didn't know Jesus Christ. And it basically shows the rich man was where he belonged. Because what's he do after he gets there? This man prays to Father Abraham and beseeches him. The reason I started doing this is there was a thing in one of Tim James' bulletin written by Joe Terrell. And this is what he wrote, one of the things he wrote. Because this, you know, this got to me. Y'all know my Catholic background, you know. And you know about the prayer to saints and to pray to Mary and Peter. Because Mary is the co-mediatrix. Well, there ain't no such thing. Sorry. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Amen. There is no other. There is no mediatrix, co, or otherwise.
That's right.
You know, there was a fellow who said, y'all fly as high as you want with Mary under one arm and Peter under the other. And I'm thinking, that's not going to get your rear end off the ground. I'm sorry. You ain't flying nowhere that way. But here's the thing. This is what Joe Terrell wrote. He got me, and I like this. He says, there is a great superstition among many, and I put in parentheses, probably millions, that there is a power and a grace to be found by praying to saints who have gone before. Now, the only man in all of Scripture who did that is this fella right here.
Right.
The only fella who ever did that in the Scriptures is a man in hell. And it is never wise to follow the example of the damned. I thought, boy, that's pretty darn good. And that's mean, too. You understand? It is never wise to follow the example of the damned. That's good. That's what kind of got me started on this thing. I thought, well, I've got to be able to read that to you. It took a lot of introduction to get to it. But you understand, because this man, this rich man, and here, this is a serious point. This rich man entreated, spoke to, prayed to, asked for a favor from a real bona fide saint of God.
Yeah.
You understand? This rich man entreated to Abraham. And Abraham was real, and Abraham was there. He saw him, and he saw Lazarus being welcomed and comforted. He didn't pray. He didn't pray to a false, made-up saint, of which there are many, 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 many. I'm not going into that. But he didn't pray to Mary either. He didn't pray to Peter. He prayed to Abraham, who he could see with his own eyes. Because here's the thing, without the spirit of adoption, without knowing Jesus Christ, He didn't know anybody greater to pray to than Father Abraham. You can see in hell, but you can't see everything.
That's right.
He didn't know God because he didn't know the Christ of God, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I'm not slighting Abraham in the least, you know. He's in Hebrews 11. He is a true bona fide saint of God. God called him my friend. He talked with him face to face as a man would his friend. But here's the thing. Neither Abraham nor anyone else can get you a drop of water in hell. And that's the God's honest truth. Because at the end of all this, what did the rich man get? He got nothing. He got nothing at all. Because he was where he belonged. Even in hell, the man didn't pray to God. Believers are told to pray, and believers have been taught to pray by Jesus Christ. He said, pray on this wise. Our Father, which art in heaven, or who art in heaven. What? Holy be thy name. Now, it's just an example. It's not a repeat after me and everybody all recited together. He said, don't do that. Right before he gave them this prayer, he told them not to do it. So what do? They do that. Yeah. Let's say our Father all together. Yeah. Christ said, don't do that. That's what the heathen do. They think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm leery of prayer chains, as they are called. I'm not leery of them. I won't have one. I mean, you know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. He didn't say the prayers of a righteous bunch availeth much. He said the prayers of a righteous man. Pray one for another. You don't have to tell me about it. I'd appreciate it if you prayed for me. And I try to pray for you. Although I'm not real good at it, I will admit it up front. But here's the thing. Who do you pray to? You pray to the Father.
Amen.
Now, Jesus Christ said, whatsoever you ask, he'll say, in my name. Yeah. When you talk to my Father, mention my name.
Yeah. Right.
And if you ask something in my name, it will be given to you. Unless you want to consume it up on your own lusts. James said that.
Yeah.
You ask, he said, but you ask amiss. I was listening to a health and wealth gospel guy on TV today. I don't know why I do these things, but I do them. But here's the thing. Oh, he says, oh, no, you've got the, do you say, how'd you doing, fella? And the fella gets up and says, oh, my arthritis is pretty bad. He says, oh, you claim that, do you? No, you're supposed to say, well, the devil's after me a little bit, but I'm not going to give in. I'm thinking, yeah. Yeah, have that discussion with arthritis. We'll see who wins.
Yeah.
If you've got arthritis. Okay? I want to give that guy arthritis and see his conversation. People irritate me to no end. Oh, yeah. Name it and claim it. I'll name them something they can claim, but they don't want to talk to me, and I don't want to talk to them. Whatsoever you ask in Christ's name, ask the Father. And if it's a real request, and if it's according to the will of the Father,
amen.
He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. I think Paul the Apostle knew how to pray. I really do. And he prayed three times for a thorn in the flesh to be taken from him. And you know what? He got an answer every time. God said no. God said no. And God said no. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient for all. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. So if what you're asking in his name is not glorifying to the Father by the Son, It ain't going to happen, folks. Might as well give up. I'd have been a millionaire a long time ago. I probably would have won the lottery 5 times if that worked. Or, but here's the other thing. You understand, rich man was an unbeliever on the earth, and the rich man was an unbeliever in hell.
Yep.
Guess what? What's that make Lazarus? Lazarus was a believer on the earth, and he was a believer being comforted in Abraham's bosom. He was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom, and he was comforted, he was hugged, he was welcomed. Ah. We need to recognize. We need to celebrate. We need to marvel in, and we need to praise God for his grace.
Right.
To Lazarus. Because you understand, Lazarus didn't get to Abraham's bosom without the grace of God.
That's right.
In death, there is comfort. There is life and comfort for the believer. For the believer. You know why? Because it is an eternal salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. That's this life and the one to come. Now, what do I know about salvation? 3 things, real quick. First of all, the Father brings sinners to the Son. You can look at John 6:44 and John 6:65. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. If the Father hasn't chosen you in his Son, given you to his Son, and drawn you to his Son, you don't know the Son or the Father. I'm not saying you're not elect, but you don't know.
Right.
You got no reason. The Father brings sinners to the Son. Okay? Second thing I want to tell you, the Son brings sinners to the Father.
Yeah.
For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
Amen.
You understand? He brings us to his Father, to God. You understand? He has reconciled us to the Father. The Father brings him to the Son, and the Son brings him to the Father, redeemed, reconciled, justified, glorified in the Son. Because if he doesn't bring you to the Father, to the glory, you won't be there.
Right.
That's just the way it is. So there's 2 things. The Father brings sinners to his Son. The Son brings sinners to his Father. But here, in particular, in this story, all those that the Father brings to the Son, and those that the Son reconciles and brings to the Father, all those that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, what? Shall never die.
Amen. That's right.
Shall never die. They're going to be carried by angels and be comforted. That's John 11:26. And you know who Jesus Christ said that to? The sisters of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. Now, I'm not saying they're the same guy, but I suspect they are. I mean, this is just on me. You understand? It's awfully coincidental that here in Luke, Jesus Christ is telling this account of a rich man and a certain beggar named Lazarus. And the rich man says, well, if somebody's raised from the dead, they'd believe him. And then in John chapter 11, we have Jesus Christ going to see a fellow by the name of, to the grave of a man named Lazarus, talking to his sisters and saying, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, if he liveth, if he believes in me, you're never going to die. And then he asked, do you believe that? And then he raised him from the dead. I just find that awfully coincidental, and I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God.
Yeah.
He that lives and believes in the Son shall never die, period. Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom and comforted. He was carried there to be comforted. And he was comforted. Lazarus was with believers that had gone on before. He was with Abraham. I got no reason to suspect that it was just them two alone. I believe he was with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at least. Matthew 22, 31 and 32 says this. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the living. But the living. He's the God of the living. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. With this account of the rich man and Lazarus, we are told by Jesus Christ that believers shall never die. The God of glory, the God of peace, the God of all grace has spoken. Guess what? He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. His word's not returning unto him void. And if he said you're never going to die, you're never going to die. And you know what? It doesn't matter what any preacher says. It doesn't matter what I say. If you believe Jesus Christ, you shall never die. Even though you may bodily depart this area. He brings it to pass. He purposed it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Find your comfort in him. For he cares for his own. He is the God of the living. And he cares for you. He cares for his people. Heavenly Father, thank you again. For all you've done, for all you're doing, and for all that you shall do. Most of all, thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given eternal life to his people. He's redeemed them, bought them back, bought them. He owns us. He's reconciled us to you. He's justified us to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.